us, we who know Christ as our Savior, to teach us, to instruct us, and to edify us, to serve and to glorify and to honor our great God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus. We pray as we look at thy word today that it might be helpful to us and instructive and practical. We might bring glory and honor and praise to him who loved us and died for us. In his name we pray. Amen. We saw week before last in the first part of the fifth chapter of 1 Corinthians here that there was a man who was in the congregation there at Corinth. And by the way, these people at Corinth had come out of a very heathenistic background with all kind of oddities or sinfulnesses as far as overt worldly things are concerned, as far as the Word of God is concerned. They were lapsing back into their old ways. And Paul is writing and instructing them to get them back to the place where they should be in relationship to their service for the Lord Jesus. Now, they have been very, very carnal in their minds. He has told them that earlier in this book. And he goes through this all the way through the book. He corrects them on things that are wrong. And here in the fifth chapter, they have a man in the congregation who is committing adultery or fornication with his stepmother. And he's not only doing that, but he's going around and bragging about it at church. He says, it doesn't matter. We are saved. We're going to heaven. Doesn't matter what we do. We are still saved. And the rest of the people, you know, they thought, well, you know, this is great. And they were sort of puffed up about it, too. Now, the heathen people didn't do things like this. The unsaved people, they wouldn't even think about doing a thing like this. But these people were, and they were bragging about it. Verse 2 says, you're puffed up, but you ought to be mourning over it. And so Paul says, I'm going to judge and we're going to take care of this thing because this can become a real cancer. This can become a real eyesore as far as our testimony for Jesus Christ is concerned. Of course, it's wrong. Adultery, fornication is wrong anywhere you find it. Even a lot of people today don't think so. In fact, I had a young lady call me up one night and she wanted to know if it was wrong to commit adultery. I said, why, sure it is. She said, well, a lot of people have been telling me it's not. I said, well, the Bible says it is. And if the Bible says it's wrong, then it's wrong in the way you find it. I don't care where it is or what circumstance. It is always wrong. And, of course, this man was doing that kind of thing. And so Paul tells them there in verse 6, he says, your glorying is not good. Your boasting is terrible. It's wrong. Why? They were bragging about this man, and they, you know, he's saved. Boy, he's doing these things wrong, and it doesn't bother him a bit. Well, it should have. It should have crushed him. But he's going around bragging about it. And you know people like that, Christians who sin, and they go around bragging about their sin, a little boastful about it, because God hadn't knocked them dead yet. Well, just hang on till we get to the 11th chapter. He might knock them dead. God does that kind of thing. And here he says to deliver this man over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. But he'll still be saved in that day of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is verse 5. Then look at verse 7. Purge out therefore the old leaven. Purge it out. Cleanse it. Get rid of it. Why? Because a little leaven leavens a whole lump. Now, we want to talk about this business of leaven this morning. The first time it's mentioned is in Exodus chapter 12. And you might want to jot some of these things down on the back of your bulletin. And we'll move it up so you can see it better. Leaven in the Bible always speaks of evil. In Exodus chapter 12, look at we'll begin reading at verse 7. And it's on page 84, Exodus chapter 12, verse 7. They shall take of the blood and strike it on the two sides, side posts, and on the upper post of the house, wherein they shall eat. Now, what Moses is talking about here is this is the Passover. Back in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, it says in the same verse there where it says, purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, for ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Now the Passover lamb was slain, and this was a picture, this was a shadow of the Lord Jesus Christ one day coming and dying and shedding his blood and paying for our sin. Now the blood was put over both sides of the door when you go in, and across the top. That meant that the person inside was covered by the blood of the lamb. Now, of course, the Lamb is the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got to be covered by the blood of the Lamb if you're going to be saved. The blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse us from all sin, and only the blood of Christ can cleanse us from sin. He is our Passover. He is our Lamb that was slain for us to pay for our sin. Now, that's what he's talking about here in verse 7. Now, look at verse 8. And ye shall eat the flesh. Eating in the Word of God speaks of faith. When you eat something, you take it in. You receive it. When you have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you receive Him. You receive what He's done for you. And this is what He's talking about. You'll eat of the flesh in the night, roasted with fire. The fire speaks of judgment. The Lord Jesus Christ was judged. And notice, and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs shall you eat it. Now, unleavened here means no sin in it. Leaven is the kind of thing that it doesn't just come out with a big bang. When you ladies put leaven in your bread to make it rise, you just put a little bit in there, and it sits there for some time, and it just begins to permeate through the dough, doesn't it? All of a sudden, it just doesn't explode. That's not leaven. And leaven in the Word of God is that which sort of starts out with just a small amount, and it begins to grow and grow and grow and grow and grow. And first thing you know, it becomes mammoth. It becomes gigantic. It becomes huge. And that's the way a lot of sin in our life began. It starts off with something just small, and it gets larger and larger and larger. We gave the illustration week before last about the rotten apple in the barrel. You start out with just one little bitty rotten piece, and it doesn't have to have but one little spot on one apple. And first thing you know, the whole barrel is rotten, because it'll go through that apple, then it'll get on to the other apple next to it, and then the next one and next one, and first thing you've got is nothing but a bunch of rotten apples. And that's what the Bible says leaven is like as far as Christianity is concerned. And so he says, purge out the old leaven. And we have actually six kinds of leaven that are spoken of in the Bible. And we want to look at those this morning, because they have to do with little things that can be in our life that can start out something small, but it can begin to grow. Now, there in Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, look at verse 1. Luke chapter 12, verse 1. Now remember, leaven starts out as something small, and it just begins to ease through. Doesn't just explode. It doesn't come off with a big bang. And sin is like that in our lives. We mentioned David on a number of occasions because the Bible mentions him so often. David didn't start off committing adultery. That wasn't the first act that he did. That was a combination of a number of things that happened. First thing David started doing was just stop having a quiet time or a time when he read the Word of God. He just became a little lax in that. He began to sleep late. He started getting up in the middle of the morning. He had been getting up early and talking to the Lord and reading the Word of God that he had and fellowshipping with God. Well, he stopped doing that. He just sort of, he got having, I guess, too much nightlife, and so he had to cut something out, and that was the first thing to go. Then it was time for him to go to war, and he stayed at home. You know, he got lazy, and he got lax in his responsibility. He was supposed to be leading the army out there, and he was at home laying up in bed. Now, king, when it's time for kings to go forth for war, they're supposed to go. But he stayed at home. You say, well, he'd start shirking his responsibility because he had left his time with the Lord. And then, you see, if he had been out there on the battlefield where he was supposed to be, would he have ever seen Bathsheba? Never would have seen her. he would have been at the, he was at the wrong place at the right time. Well, when he saw her, he lusted, and so he brought her over, and then he committed adultery, and then that led to murder. You see, it didn't start out with big things. It started out with little things, and it began to creep and get bigger and bigger. Well, look here at Luke chapter 1, 12, verse 1. In the meantime, when there was gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trotted one upon another, he began to say unto the disciples, first of all, beware, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is what? Hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is a leaven. It starts out with something small. And you know, we don't have to be hypocritical. And the word hypocrisy means just putting on a false face. We start out, you know, and we put on a little false face about this thing, and we, you know, we act like something we're not here, and then first thing you know, we do it there, and then first thing you know, we're out doing it all in public, and we're talking a big game, but we aren't doing anything. We talk big, and we act little. We say we're Christian, but we don't act like we are. Our state is not up to our standing. Now, what are we talking about when we talk about state and standing? If you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you've been born again, God says you have a righteousness from God. God says you're perfect. He declares you righteous. You're justified. You're declared right even though you're wrong. That's justification. Now, that is our standing. We stand before God perfect. But our state may be way down here. Now, when we are hypocritical, then that is lowering our state. When we are acting like we are something that we are not, then we are lowering our state. Doesn't lower our standing. We still stand before God perfect. But our state gets lower and lower and lower. Or we get further and further and further out of fellowship with God. And so Luke here says, beware, or Jesus says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. We need to be careful about our hypocrisy. Let's don't be hypocritical. You know, that used to be the big objection to people becoming Christians, is there were so many hypocrites in the church. You got so many deacons down there, so hypocritical. You've got so many Sunday school teachers that are hypocritical. You've got so many church members. Why, old so-and-so goes down that church, and I wouldn't go down there, that old hypocrite. I wouldn't be caught at a dead round. Now, he'd go to some other place with him, but won't go to church with him. You know, he'd go to the ball game and sit there and holler with him and shout and do the same thing. But when he goes to church, different thing. Well, that does hinder the cause of Jesus Christ if we're hypocritical. And he says to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Then turn with me to Matthew chapter 16 and look at verse 1. Here we have two kinds of leaven. The leaven of the Pharisees is mentioned again, which is hypocrisy, and the leaven of the Sadducees. Now let's look at see what it says. The Pharisees with the Sadducees came and tested him, desiring that he should show them what? A sign. Now, if you know anything about Sadducees, you know that they were a group who were in opposition to the Pharisees. Now, they got together against the Lord Jesus, but actually they didn't like each other at all. The Pharisees, they believed in the supernatural, they believed in angels, they believed in resurrection, all that. But the Sadducees, they were folks who didn't believe in anything supernatural. They said there's no such thing as a resurrection. That's supernatural. You can't have somebody being raised from the dead. Don't believe in it. If we can't see it and we can't touch it and we don't know it, we are real rationalists. We've got to see it to believe it. And they look for a sign. Notice it says, they wanted a sign from heaven. And he answered and said unto them, when it is evening, you say, it is fair weather, and the sky is red, and so on and so forth. And you see, they were looking what? They look out and look at the signs, and they know when it's going to rain and when it's going to be bad weather and when it's going to be good weather. They had a sign. You know, there are a lot of Christians who are always looking for signs. They are real rationalists. They have got to have God to speak to them in a special way before they'll do anything. Beware of the leaven of the Sadducees. Now, we don't want to slip off into this kind of thing where we've got to have signs. We've got to see before we can believe. Now, it's one thing to have something in the Word of God. Our faith is not a blind faith. We don't take the leap in the dark like the Neo-Orthodox. The Neo-Orthodox people say that just have faith, brother. That's all you need is just faith. And if you've got enough faith, it doesn't matter, you know, and it doesn't matter what you have your faith in, just as long as you've got faith, brother, you're all right. And just take that step, and when you take that step, you're going to be all right, because you've got faith. Well, the Bible does talk about faith, but we have faith in facts. But the facts are the Word of God, not some sign out there, not something supernatural. We have the supernatural Word of God, and this is the thing that we go to. And we need to be careful about all these little rationalistic type things. We go to where we know that we can count on it 100%. And we don't let these kind of things slip into our life. We go back to the black bag book, the Word of God. This is where we go to. And we don't worry about the Sadducees. Then in Mark chapter 8, it talks about the leaven of Herod. Mark chapter 8. If you'll turn with me there to 10:58. The leaven of Herod. Mark chapter 8. And look at verse 14. Mark chapter 8, verse 14. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread. Neither had they in the boat with them any more than one loaf. And he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. Now, if we had time this morning, we could go to Luke chapter 23 and begin reading it about verse 5, 4, 5, 6, somewhere along in there. And you could see there when Jesus Christ went before Herod. You remember when he was in his trial and Pilate sent him up to Herod? Herod wanted to do what? He wanted to see him perform some magic. You see, Herod was very materialistic. And this is what the leaven of Herod is materialism. He wanted something there, you know, that he could see and he could touch. What did Jesus do? He wouldn't even speak to him. He wouldn't talk to him at all. Much less show him a miracle. Why? He was materialistic. That's all Herod had, and that's all he wanted, is just those material possessions. And we need to be careful about materialism. We can ease off into this leaven too. It's very easy to get there and become like old Herod and have that kind of leaven. Now, in our passage this morning, we have three kinds mentioned in verse 8. And we want to look at these three for just a moment. Back to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 again. Purge out therefore the old leaven. Notice that word old there, old leaven, that ye may be a new lump. We want to get all the leaven out. Now remember, these people there at Corinth are what? They are living in open sin. They have eased off into lasciviousness and sinfulness and worldliness and all kinds of different things that are wrong. And so he wants us to purge out, to cleanse it all out. The old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. Your standing is unleavened. Your standing before God is no sin. But there's been a lot of sin that has crept into your life. For Christ is our Passover. That gives us our standing before God. He is our Passover, his sacrifice for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast. Now, the feast is the feast of unleavened bread. The feast that follows the Passover is unleavened bread. And that speaks of fellowship with God. That speaks of walking in the Spirit. That speaks of having a right relationship with God and doing what God wants them to do. When they had their feast of unleavened bread, they would cast all the leaven out of the house. They'd go through the house with a fine-tooth comb. and they would look for everything that had anything to do with fermentation, anything that had to do with leaven. And as we said, leaven speaks of sin, and they would take it outside the house, speaking that they weren't going to sin, that they were going to walk the way God wanted them to walk. Now he says, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven. Now this word old here has to do with worldliness or the old man. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 6, he talks about this old man. Now here's what happens, you see. Sometimes we get away from the Lord, and we get away from what he wants us to do. And I want you to turn with me to Colossians chapter 3 and look at verse 9. Colossians chapter 3, verse 9. You also want to jot down Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. But look at Colossians chapter 3 and verse 9. Lie not one to another. It's on page 1288. As I said, you know, we get away from the Word of God, and we get a little bit cold, you know. You've heard about cold Christians, haven't you? John mentions these in writing to the churches there in the book of Revelation. He says, you know, you're lukewarm. You're getting down to the lukewarm place. You used to be hot. Now you're getting lukewarm, and you're going to be cold before long. And you know, when we get cold and we become cold Christians, what do? We put on the old man again. We try to get warmed up, and so we put on the flesh. You know, Christianity, we get down to the place where it's not all exciting anymore. You get down to the where, as old McGee says, where the rubber meets the road or the leather meets the road, and we're down living just every day. A lot of people, you know, they're way up one day and way down the next day. I was talking to a fellow this week, and he said, boy, I wish my life could get off to an even keel. And says, I get so down, I get so low, and then he says, I get back up pretty high. And I'm up and down, I just can't seem to level off, and I want to level off. Well, that's the way Christian life ought to be. I get a little upset over these people that are always getting way up here, you know, just high as a kite. You know why? Because I know they're going to be low in a few days or a few weeks. Those who get real high get real low. But those who don't get very high, they don't get very low. We need to be on that even keel. Now, I know that's not all that exciting. But it sure is a lot easy on you. If you can be a consistent Christian, just staying right there, just plugging away like that old workhorse. But we don't like to be workhorses. We like to be show horses. We like to be racehorses, you know. Well, racehorses don't work much. You know, they work real hard when they work, but they don't work very often. And that's what we want to do. You know, we want to really show out when we show out. When we do something for the Lord, we really want everybody to see us. Well, that's a show horse. I mean, that's a racehorse, you know. But this old mule out here just plowing away, you know, we don't like that too well. That doesn't set too well with us. But that's what most of us are. And what we all ought to be. Just plodding away. But we get away from the Lord and we've got this old leaven, this worldliness. Just out in the world. Look at this verse that we were talking about in Colossians chapter 3, verse 9. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with the deeds. You see, you put off this old man, the old leaven here. Now, this is what we should do, is put it off. But like I say, we get a little cold, and our Christian life begins to get a little drab and a little dull because we have quit doing the things that God has instructed us to do, like studying the Word of God, like praying, like witnessing, like fellowshipping with other Christians and fellowshipping with the Lord, worshiping the Lord, and all these little things, you know. And first thing you know, we've put off some of those things, or all of them. And then we get cold, and then we put back on the old man. We took it off, but we're putting it back on now. And first thing you know, we're just as worldly as we can possibly be. Why, the world can't, you can't tell any difference between that Christian and an unsaved man. They look exactly like, they smell exactly like. Well, they just have the old on. Well, not with the old leaven, neither the leaven of malice, and that's our fifth one, malice. And malice means worthlessness here. You know, there are some things that are neither, not all that good and not all that bad. Not necessarily good, but it's not necessarily bad. It's just what, as far as Christianity is concerned? Worthless. Just worthless, that's all. Just not worth one plug nickel. And Paul talks about that. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We'll get here soon. In verse 23, he says, all things are lawful for me. Now, he's talking about here the law of liberty. I am at liberty as a Christian to do anything that I want to, as long as the Bible doesn't specifically say it's wrong. If the Bible says it's wrong. I don't care where you find it. I don't care what kind of circumstance you're under. It is wrong. It is always wrong to tell a lie. It never is right to tell a lie. It's always wrong to steal. I don't care where you are, when you are. It's always wrong to steal. It's never right. It's always wrong to commit adultery. It's always wrong to all those things that we can go name on and on and on. Why? The Bible says so. But there are certain things the Bible doesn't cover. And he says, notice, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not what? Expedient. All things aren't advantageous. All things aren't the best. Notice, all things are lawful, but all things what? Edify not. Not everything I can do in my life edifies. Edifies means to build up. And if it's not building up, then it's what? It's worthless. If we aren't building up, if our life isn't becoming more consistent, and we aren't staying on that even keel more, and we aren't serving the Lord Jesus Christ on a consistent basis, what are we doing? We're not being edified. We're having malice. Just worthless. Look at Philippians chapter 1. Turn there with me. Ephesians, Philippians chapter 1. Verse 8. It's on page 1280. For God is my witness how greatly I long after you in all tender mercies of Christ. And this I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve the things that are excellent. The word excellent here means to discern between the good and evil. That ye might discern the good and evil, that ye won't be carried to and fro. This word excellent. You see, there are things that may be not necessarily real bad, but it just carries you to and fro. And you need to be able to discern that which is just carrying you to and fro. You're just sort of shiftless. Just worthless. It just really isn't getting the job done. Is that the way our life is? I'm talking about our Christian life. Are we just sitting there and, well, sort of like that cereal, you know, that's been in the bowl there for about 4 or 5 hours. You put the milk on it, and it's just laying there one soggy mess. And you try to eat it, and you can't eat it. You want to pour it out, and it won't go down the sink. You know, it's just sort of worthless. It's useless. Well, that's the way a lot of Christians' life, people's lives are. I don't know where you fit in. Well, he says, back to verse 8, therefore let us keep the feast. Let us keep the feast. The feast of unleavened bread, where we're in fellowship with God. Not in the old leaven, neither the leaven of malice nor wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. The word sincerity means to look at it through the glass. It's pure. That which God intended. It's that which you are doing that God really wants. And the truth, the Word of God. We judge our life by this. Well, it's not with wickedness. The same word here, this word for wicked here, is used, which would be out of sin, that as it's mentioned here in verse 13 of this same fifth chapter. He's talking about judging the people who are outside. Now, Paul has said we're not to keep company with fornicators. Here's a person who commits fornication or adultery. We aren't to fellowship with those people. Now, if we're talking about an unsaved person, then we would probably not be able to associate with anybody, because particularly in our society today, and in Corinth, I'm sure that would be true. Because in Corinth, their religion demanded, or part of their religious activities was to go there to the temple and commit adultery with some of the temple prostitutes. They had 1,000 of them there in Corinth, and that was part of their worship. And if you didn't associate with anybody that went to the temple and took part in that part of the worship, then you wouldn't probably have, well, you wouldn't be able to witness to anybody or associate with any of the unsaved people. And so Paul says, I'm not talking about those. Because if we didn't associate with unsaved people who sinned or who sinned openly, then who's going to witness to them? And not only that, but we'll just have to completely go out of the world. Notice verse 10. Yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, nor extortioners, nor idolaters, for then must we needs go out of the world. If we're not going to associate with anybody that is sinning openly and outwardly, if they're unsaved, then we're going to have to just completely leave the world. Well, what are we going to do? Well, you've got to win people's confidence a lot of times before you can witness to them. That doesn't mean that you've got to do like somebody said, go down to the roads and drink with them, or wherever you're going to go. You don't have to get drunk with a person to witness to them. But you've got to be around that person to witness to them. And your closest friends should not be unsaved people. Your closest friends should be saved people who are in fellowship with God, who are serving the Lord. Now, I'm not just talking about saved people, because every saved person shouldn't be associated with. That shouldn't be your closest friend. You need to be associated with people that you want to be like. It's hard to rise above the pressures of your friends. I'm talking about your close friends. First thing you know, you're going to be like them. That's the reason why children are so much like their parents. Why? They're around them so much. Why, I can see myself in my little old girl so many times. Why, she was down there the other day. No, I ain't going to tell that. Anyhow, she's just mocking me up a storm. I just like to fell out in the floor when I saw her doing what she was doing. Couldn't believe it. But she saw me do that, and she picked it up. Why? Just like a daddy. Why, she sees him all the time, and she starts acting like him. Well, you're going to act like the people you're around the most. So you want to be a carnal Christian, then get around carnal Christian. You want to be a spiritual Christian, you want to serve the Lord, you want to have inner happiness and inner joy. And all right, be around people like that. Be around the folks you like. You want to be like. Otherwise, if we're going to get out of the world, though. Well, that wasn't what I meant to get to. Look at verse 13. But them that are outside, God judges. Those who are unsaved, God's going to judge them. God's going to take care of them. Therefore, put away from among you that wicked person. Now, this word wicked here is the same word that's used up here, wickedness, when it says unleavened, the leaven of malice and wickedness, outwardly sin. The word for outward overt sin. And we do have people who are like that. Well, I don't know what kind of leaven you have in your particular life. I don't know where you stand this morning. But I do trust that these have been some things that have pricked our minds and that have shown us the condition that we're in. And if there are problems there, then we know what to do with them. First thing we do to get back into fellowship with God, if there is hypocrisies in our life, or if there is rationalism, where we just got to see things. We just can't take God at His word. We just got to have some personal experiences there? We've got to have all kind of signs? Or we just become so materialistic and that's all we can see is just materialism? Or we're just worldly? I mean, we're just like the unsaved folks. Or there may be just a bunch of worthless things in our life. You know what the writer of the Hebrews says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily beset us and run with patience the race that set it before us. Things that we don't carry around weights when we're running a race. We should lay aside those things. May be all right. May there's nothing wrong with it. But it's just worthless. For a racer, it's worthless to carry weights. You know, a fierce person who's running a dash, he takes off everything he can get off except his shoes. And just a little bit of clothes to cover him up. Why, he'd be foolish if he's going to run a 100-yard dash to do it in a football uniform. Or carry a log with him. There's a man running a 100-yard dash and he's got a big old log up under his arm. You say that's foolish. Well, we do the same thing. We carry a lot of things around that are just foolish and worthless. We need to be getting down to business to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow for prayer. With our head bowed and eyes closed. Maybe you're here this morning, you never trust the Lord Jesus as your Savior. He's never become your Passover lamb. You've never been covered by the blood of Christ. Well, you can right where you're sitting right this minute. Jesus Christ died and shed His blood to pay for all your sin, past, present, and future. And right where you are, you can trust Him as your Savior. You can depend completely upon Him to give you eternal life, to take you to heaven, to save you. And He'll do it in your seat, right where you're sitting right now, if you will trust Him and Him alone to save you. Only the blood of Christ can cleanse you from sin. Only Jesus Christ can save. But He can save and He will save you right in your seat, right where you're sitting, right now, if you'll trust Him. That means you'll rely completely upon Him and nothing or anybody else. Maybe this morning you've done that. I do trust each one of you have. I fear for you if you haven't. Because we don't ever know when we're going to breathe our last conscious breath, and that could be any moment. Trust Him if you haven't. Father, we do thank You for eternal life, which is Your free gift. We pray Thy Holy Spirit this morning might convict any who are here of their lost condition, show them that they'll be separated from God forever if they don't trust Him as their Savior. We pray they might trust Him. And then we who are saved, we pray we might live the life in fellowship with You, keeping the feast of unleavened bread and not letting leaven stay in our house. If some creeps in, that we deal with it and get it out, that we might walk the way You want us to walk, consistently. Never real high, but never low. Just walking to please You in Jesus' name. Just a moment, we're going to stand and sing one stanza of an invitation hymn, 301, Near the Heart of God, 301. This hymn of invitation is for church membership and service. You don't have to walk an aisle, join a church to be saved, but if God does have a place He wants you to serve Him and to fellowship with other Christians, and if this is that place, we give you the invitation to come. We only sing one stanza because everybody can come on one stanza. You ask God the Holy Spirit, is this where You want me to serve You? And if it is, then you come. Just come on now. If you aren't sure, then talk to Him. Ask Him. Find out where He does want you. Then you roll up your sleeves and go to work and serve the Lord Jesus Christ there. Shall we stand? Shall we sing?